I want to take up two separate questions, one very briefly, but the first, at slightly greater length, I want to talk about why it is that Israel, that is Jacob, when he blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, that becomes then the blessing that parents are supposed to give to their sons every Friday night. Why do we bless Ephraim and Manasseh? Yeah. With girls, we say Sara, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. With boys, we say Ke Ephraim and Manasseh. Why don't we say you should be like Moses and Abraham and Jacob and whoever else you should be like? And I have three reasons. The first two I've mentioned before. The third, they're all speculative, but the third is highly speculative, but I like it. So I'll mention all. Remember now, Jacob is blessing Joseph's sons. And it's also true that he blesses the younger first, Ephraim, and then Manasseh, when Manasseh is in fact the older. So the first reason is we know that all through the book of Genesis, there's this competition between older sons and younger sons. The younger son always wins, the older son always gets upset. Right? There's Isaac and Ishmael, there's Jacob and Esau, there's Joseph and his older brothers. It never works out. This is the first time that the older is blessed second and doesn't get upset. In other words, it's the first achievement of family harmony in the book of Genesis, which is a parade of dysfunctional families until you get to the end and Ephraim and Manasseh actually seem to have their act together. So the first reason, I suppose, that we bless Ephraim and Manasseh is because we want our children to be harmonious in the world, and this is the first example we have. Remember, the first siblings we have in the Bible are Cain and Abel, and we all know how that worked out, right? That was really not good. So one is for harmony. The second reason that the rabbis point out why Ephraim and Manasseh are blessed is that they are the first Jews who are given a Jewish consciousness and education, who grow up and live entirely in exile. They're born in Egypt. They grow up in Egypt. They live in Egypt. So when Jacob says, you should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, it is a presaging of the fact. It's a prophecy of the idea that for many, many generations, Jews will be outside the land of Israel, but obviously we still want to bless them that they have a consciousness of themselves as Jews, despite the fact that they may grow up in disparate places throughout the world. So one may be family harmony, and the second may be this idea that Jews should be able to be raised with an awareness of who they are wherever they're raised. But here's the third idea, which is that this is the first and probably the only instance in the Bible when a grandfather blesses grandchildren, or a grandmother for that matter. A grandparent blesses grandchildren. It's not the father. Joseph doesn't bless them. It's Jacob, and Jacob is their grandparent. Now, what's the difference between a parent and a grandparent? Well, obviously there are many differences, but broadly speaking, the relationship between a grandparent and a grandchild is less complicated, less fraught, less adversarial, less angry than the relationship between a parent and a child, right? That's not always true, but it is certainly often true. Everybody knows, right, that grandparents' function in the world is to indulge all those things that parents say no to. That's what grandparents do. Behind the parent's back, they give the kid the thing that the parent just said no to, causing more friction still between parent and child on both ends of the spectrum. So maybe the third idea here is that we want the relationship between parents and children, when we say you should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, to be more like the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. That is, it should be less of a friction, less of a fight, more of unconditional love, the way it is with grandparents. And so the paradigm of blessing your child is Jacob blessing his grandchildren instead of Joseph blessing his children. I say all of this, first of all, just because I think it's interesting that Ephraim and Manasseh, who are improbable characters to be the blessed, since we know really very little of their lives. And by the way, I forgot even the most traditional reason, which is that Ephraim was a scholar and Manasseh worked in the field, so you want your children to be both. That is, you want them to have both the idea of study and the idea of work. right? That's the most traditional reason. But even though we know very little of them, we do know at least that they're the paradigm for how you're supposed to bless. And then, since I don't want to completely omit it, we're about to come to the Haftarah from the Book of Kings, where you will see David give his last blessing to his child Solomon. Now, if you think of David as a messianic saintly hero instead of like a mafia don, then it will really surprise you what he says to Solomon, because basically what he says is, this guy treated me well, be nice to him, this guy treated me badly, I promised I wouldn't hurt him, but you get the idea, Solomon, I promised I would not hurt him, but I didn't promise anything about you, now you go do the right thing. And he literally leaves his legacy of who Solomon's supposed to get and who Solomon's supposed to be nice to, and then he dies. And it reminds you that being a king is a very difficult and fraught business. Do you ever see the musical Pippin, where Pippin decides that since Charlemagne, who's his father, is being so mean to everyone, he's going to take over from Charlemagne, and then all of a sudden he discovers, without being mean to everyone, he can't rule the kingdom. So he resurrects his father and gives it back to him and says, because I can't do this. The ancient world was very tough, and David wanted Solomon to survive, so he gives him a blessing very unlike Ephraim and Manasseh. And I just wanted to prepare you, because if you read the Haftarah, it may surprise you just how difficult it was to survive as a king in the ancient world. And remember that David, unlike most kings in the ancient world, actually died in his bed. So he did something right. Let's bring everybody in.